Hello, the internet. It is John Henry from johnhenry.us. Welcome aboard to the Friday show, which we're actually doing on Saturday afternoon. Real life sometimes does get in the way of the schedules that I impose on myself. And yesterday at my normal show time, I was actually in the middle of a desperately needed nap. And so I have been planning that my Friday shows are going to be I'm going to call them Free for All Friday. So no set topic, no big things of discussion. We may or may not touch on any of the usual subjects. Housekeeping stuff first at the top of the hour. Of course, you can find me always at my website at johnhenry.us. That's J-O-H-N-H-E-N-R-Y if you're listening and not reading. I'm also on Facebook at Facebook/JohnHenryUS, and I am a co-administrator of I Loved to Wake Up in the Morning When Barack Obama Was President. Make sure you stop by and see me there. You can find me on Twitter at Twitter at JohnHenry_US. YouTube, obviously, here I am at /JohnHenryUS. My fundraising sources are at paypal.me/JohnHenryUS and at patreon.com/JohnHenry. You can find me on podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and many more. And I've also begun publishing on Medium, doing some articles over there. So that wraps that up, and we are going to talk about some things today. We'll hit on the usual subjects first. There's a lot going on politically this week, of course, with the debates and everything, and now you're seeing the story. I don't know why it's coming out like it's a new thing, because I was seeing this like 3 or 4 weeks ago already, that the Russian hackers, the Russian government is trying to interfere in the election by trying to, support Bernie Sanders, et cetera, which, first of all, let's be completely straight. Russian doesn't care about Bernie Sanders, and they don't care about Donald Trump per se. What they care about is sowing dissension and getting us arguing with each other and all that stuff. And so it's not about supporting one candidate or not supporting one candidate. It is about creating a narrative to scare you. And it's doing a good job. I'm seeing it all over the place. And like I said, I saw references to this in the news. I went looking for it this morning. I couldn't track anything down. But I was seeing references to this alleged Russian interference promoting Bernie Sanders 3-4 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden you're starting to see these stories come out here over the last day or so about, oh, well, he knew about this a month ago and he didn't say anything. Well, guess what, folks? When you're a United States senator and you're given an intelligence and security briefing, you don't just go rushing to the microphone. I completely understand that in the age of Donald Trump, where every single thing the man thinks immediately is tweeted, but that's generally not how things work, okay? And there is a reason for that. That reason is not secrecy and trying to keep people in the American public from knowing things. That reason is to ensure that we are not inadvertently revealing sources and methods for our intelligence agencies. Okay, if I am, a spy working in Russia, and I come out tomorrow because I heard a conversation this afternoon, and then tomorrow that conversation is all over American media, it's not going to take long for them to figure out where that information came from. There's only going to be a handful of people who can have it, or a handful of ways to get it. The people who participated in the conversation will know where they're at. So now all of a sudden is the room bugged, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, if you've been around long enough and been watching me, I'm not real big on secrecy. As a general rule, I tend to adhere to the Heinlein rule that secrecy is the beginning of tyranny, pretty much always. With that said, unfortunately, and this is our own fault, it's not the fault of people, but people tend to, have these knee-jerk reactions. They don't think very clearly when they hear something. You're seeing the same thing like with the coronavirus coming out of China right now. Almost immediately, there's this biggest, they must have engineered it on purpose and blah, 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 and this and that. You know, it's a big conspiracy, and it's a chemical warfare attack on the United States by China. There's another Highlandism. Never attribute to malice that which can be adequately explained by stupidity. Okay. I don't believe for a minute that this is an engineered virus, and I don't believe for a minute that its release was intentional. Now, in the course of a discussion about this in one of the groups that I participate in that's filled with a lot of hacker types and tech people and things like that, which tends to be a conspiracy theory breeding ground, it was pointed out that this is pretty convenient for the Chinese government in dealing with the ongoing riots and civil unrest in Hong Kong. And I think that's a valid point, but that still doesn't validate the idea that they did it on purpose, right? Many of you will remember, and it's still out there, you don't have to remember, people are still talking about, oh, 9/11 was an inside job. That's a bullshit narrative. That doesn't make any sense, okay? Now, what does make sense when you start to think about it is, oh, well, maybe the people in power at that time saw this happen and went, hey, this is a way that we can advance our interests in promoting and funding and empowering the military-industrial complex, so let's go ahead and run with it, okay? The big difference there is the idea that somebody did this on purpose or was actively involved in perpetrating something rather than simply taking an advantage of an ongoing situation. So again, just a little applied critical thinking there, just a little bit of giving things their proper consideration and not always immediately jumping to this idea that the whole world is engaged in a conspiracy against us. So I definitely wanted to get that out there. I wanted to talk real briefly. I think I'm going to do a longer show about this, but you continue hearing these criticisms of Sanders, and they're ramping up about socialism, socialism, socialism. Short version is, if it wasn't for socialism, nobody in this country would be able to do any of the things we do, including this show. The internet itself was based on socialism. Before that, the television network system and the radio broadcasting, all these things were socialized. Have been in socialized or nationalized and then turned back over to the private sector, as the radio industry was during World War I. That's where RCA came from, right? People don't realize this stuff. The military itself is a socialist institution. Police, fire, libraries, roads, so many things are socialized in this country. And so the use of this word socialism as a boogeyman really tends to reveal a lot more about the people who fall for it than it does about socialism, okay? Keep that in mind, and we're going to go into that deep maybe in one of the shows next week. One of my viewers last week also brought up a really good point of order regarding the idea of civic duty, things like jury duty, things like voting, things like, getting out, showing up at protests, all of these things. You know, if you're poor, that becomes a real problem. Okay, my reader or watcher at the time, because it was during a live stream, pointed out that their own experience, and I've seen it myself, where these people, you know, you'll go into a courtroom and you'll have this judge that's making, you know, $350,000 or $400,000 a year sitting up on his bench excoriating some single mom who had to find babysitters at $300 a day just so that she could come down and get paid, you know, $12 a day to be a juror, okay? It's very easy for those of us who have the privilege of a secure roof over our heads and food in our stomach to get all, superior and condescending about other people failing to perform their civic duty. But when performing that civic duty is a major hardship and costs a lot of money that you don't have, it's maybe time to look at that in a slightly different light. And certainly it's time to consider some pretty serious reforms to how we compensate jurors, how we compensate our lawmakers, etc., etc. That's another one of those fast takes that floats around so often. Hey, let's just pay Congress minimum wage. Oh, great. Then they won't be able to afford to go to work. And I did the math one time many, many years ago on a similar situation or a similar idea that, you know, if you just cut the pay of Congress and the executive branch, then we can pay down the national debt or whatever silly thing it was. And really, you know, when I worked it out, we were still fairly deep in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think I worked it out where the numbers came up to, if you completely eliminated all of these salaries for the president, Congress, and the Supreme Court, you would pay for about 4 hours of the Iraq War. For a year of those salaries. Really? No, that's then. Again, this is the danger of falling for these sort of, you know, populist sloganeering bumper stickers and that kind of thinking. The world is not a simple place, folks. The world is a complex place. The answers are not simple. The solutions are not simple. And they're not going to come externally, right? We talked about that the other day when we were discussing, you know, equal time laws and Fox News and so on and so forth. You know, sure, as a matter of my ideological perspective, get rid of Fox News. But the problem is now I'm asking my government to do my thinking for me. Do I trust them to do that? Maybe not. Maybe that's not such a bright idea, you know? So instead, I have to do the hard work of understanding what it is that is going on around me and how to interpret it, and then recognizing that not everybody is going to specialize in, you know, mass communication and propaganda and compliance gaining tactics. I then make it my job to help filter this stuff down and break it down for you folks who are watching, so that you can catch on to the main ideas without having to go out yourself and earn a 4-year degree in the subject. So let's do what we can to resist that urge to turn our thinking over to the authorities, because sometimes the authorities are not going to be on our side. Okay. And this is, of course, the, you know, the big sign up there, right? I am independent media. I need your support. I do not have George Soros coming in here and throwing money at me. I am not taking advertising money from Mike Bloomberg, et cetera, et cetera. You folks out there are the machine that runs this, that fuels this. And so it becomes very, very important at this level for those of you who are participating and who are watching and listening. You know, that whole like and share thing, man, please, 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 you know, throw a like on the video, share the, you know, share the URL, share a link to my podcast, share a link to an article, get that information out there, because I'm not going to go out and fake this, right? I am not going to go out and roll up 50 sock puppets so I can run all over Facebook pretending to be somebody else that likes me. I will not play that game. I refuse. I think it's dishonest. I think it's manipulative. I think it sucks. Okay. And from my perspective as, you know, a creator and as an activist, yes, I definitely want the audience because I need eyeballs on it, but I'm not going to allow myself to get wrapped up in marketing hacks in order to grow that audience. I firmly believe that you folks out there on the other side of the camera are absolutely starving for high quality independent information sources that you can trust and you can rely on. And if I'm going to present myself as one of those independent sources, I can't play that shit, because now I'm completely violating everything that I'm supposed to be standing for, right? excuse me. And you see it all the time. These new organizations will pop up and somebody will come in and, oh, we're real this and we're super that and we're progressive and we're blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you start poking around. And there's one group who I'm not going to name right now, although I suspect there's a confrontation coming at some point. There's one group of folks that some friends of mine had done some work with. And I offered, right? I would love to do some content for you. I'd love to do some writing for you, even if I can just offer technical help. I would love to be there. And the response puzzled me because they basically just blew me off, right? Well, over time, you come to find out that this whole organization is putting itself forward as this sort of, you know, crusading progressive, you know, activist group, and we need your help and we need your money and so on and so forth. But every single person in the organization, except for the head guy, is a volunteer. Nobody's getting paid for anything. right? They're all working for free except for this one guy, and he gets all of the money that comes in, and he doesn't share it out to people, right? And he'll have guests on his shows, and then when those guests decide that they have had enough of his behavior, he'll just continue using the footage, right? Which, legally, in most cases, he's actually got a right to do. But I think it's crooked as hell. I think it's underhanded. It's manipulative, right? You're selling people a product that is not what you were trying to sell to them. Boy, I'd like to sit here and say I'm not trying to sell you a product, but that's kind of bullshit too. I am. The difference between me and most of the other folks out there is the product that I'm trying to sell you is reality, truth, integrity. Trying to get away from the hypocrisy, trying to get away from the manipulation, trying to get away from the clickbaiting. You won't believe what happens at 37 minutes and 14 seconds. I bet nobody will like this because Facebook is out to get me. Bullshit. Okay. And I have fought back and forth with Facebook for years and years and years and years. No, Facebook does not have an ideological bias. They are not out to cleanse themselves of right-wing or left-wing content. They are not out to stifle you. What they are out to do is make money, right? Now, the big page that I'm an admin on, matter of fact, I might bring this up. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can pull some actual stats up. So there's a big page on Facebook. It's called I Loved to Wake Up in the Morning When Barack Obama Was President. And I've actually been an admin there for a lot of years and never really used it as a platform for my own work until very recently. And one of the things that I notice, let me see if I can get this pulled up. I was looking at the page stats the other day, what Facebook calls insights. And I noticed something really, really interesting. And I'm going to see if I can get it up here on screen so that you guys can see it too. And you'll have to forgive me. I only have one monitor right now, so there's going to be a minute when we flash into that magic mirror thing, right? But, okay, so let's go to, first we'll check this. I just want to make sure I've got my information where I need it to be before I switch over here. And we're going to go all the way back as far as it will go. Let's see. So this takes us to where? February of 18, it looks like. All right, let me go ahead and bring this up on screen for you so you can see it real quick. Bang, there we go. Okay. So you can see here, this is the metric information, the traffic information for this page, going back to February, Valentine's Day of 2018, so about 2 years, right? Actually, it's exactly a two-year window because it ends on Valentine's Day of this year. And you can see this is our total page likes, right? This is the total number of people or accounts that have an active like on this page. And as you can tell, it's been fairly steady for the last couple of years, somewhere in the area of 220,000. It looks like around June of 18, it dropped down to around 218. And we've been on sort of a long, slow drop here over the last 6 months or so as well. But generally, that 220,000 mark is basically where this page sits, right? About 250,000 people, a little bit less. Now look at the reach. Let me pull this up, okay? And so you see, this top graph is the one that I want you to look at. You can see where Facebook has choked us, okay? And up until, it looks like about early summer of 2019, we would have, you know, a pretty decent little run. We have, you know, there's some peaks here where you've got, you know, a daily reach of 135,000 or, you know, there's 85,000, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is back in August of 2018. You've got 85,000, you got 135,000 around mid-December of 2018, and then a huge drop right at the beginning of the year, which is probably reflective more of the admins taking time off for the holidays than anything else. But so you see that level, the spikes are running about that same level right up until about June of last year. and then it just goes thump. And our daily or our daily reach, page reach, has not exceeded 35,000 people once since that time. Okay. We're publishing the same content and we're getting the same amount of traffic on the content in terms of the people that watch our page and who are, you know, participating. We didn't lose a bunch of people there. We didn't lose a bunch of views there. Okay. That stuff didn't disappear. What did I do? Oh, wrong one. There we go. It didn't disappear. What has happened is Facebook continues to choke off the reach of these big pages, not because of political concerns or because they're worried that we're bad actors or anything like that, because we don't pay them for advertising. And as time goes by, they continue to implement more and more and more ways to limit your ability to see our work because we are not paying them to advertise our page. And one of the reasons why, you know, I do a lot of complaining and criticism of a lot of these big pages. And one of the things that I've always loved about, I loved it, is the guy who started the page, Dave, absolutely refuses. And we get offers. I mean, I see the inbox. I could show it to you right now. We get offers constantly. Can we post our stuff on your page? We'll pay you $8,000 a week. We'll pay you blah, blah, blah. We'll pay you so much money because you reach so many people. And Dave has always been opposed to that, and I am opposed to it, okay? My name is up there. I am not going to put my name and my endorsement on something that I don't believe in, and if I believe in it, you don't have to pay me. Right? It's that simple. If I use your product or if I, you know, am supporting your candidacy because I believe in it, because I think it's a good product or I think you're the person that deserves to be in the office, then you don't have to pay me to tell people that. Nobody is paying me to say I like Bernie Sanders. I like Bernie Sanders. That's why I say it. I don't say it because somebody gave me money. The downside of that is strictly for us in that because we don't engage in those games, we end up, you know, it's the resume problem that I discussed in an earlier show, the problem of people lying on their resume, right? Everybody lies on their resume, and then when you're the one that doesn't lie on the resume, you're at a disadvantage. And so now we're at a disadvantage because we are not paying Facebook for advertising. We are not wrapped up in some massive circle jerk with 300 other pages that promise to promote each other in exchange for. We are, you know, a very small group of independent people. The administrators don't always agree with each other even on every subject, and that's fine. But this is why I end up having to keep coming back and harping on this idea of please make sure you like the content, make sure you share the content, make sure you're telling people about it, make sure you're bringing more eyeballs in, because literally the platforms that we are on are preventing us from reaching everybody who says they want to see us because they want us to pay for that. And we're not going to. They want us to participate in that game of, hello, I am, you know, this person from halfway across the world who wants to run an advertisement for my product, or I want your page to endorse my product, or I want your page to share links to my page, and so here is a big pile of money. And with our numbers, you know, we get some pretty decent offers. I have seen multiple offers come through at $1 per like on our page. That's $250,000. Right? We will give you $1 for every like on your page for a period of 3 months to allow us to, you know, to spam our content on your page. And every single time we say no. Every single time we say no, because that is not what we are about. And so this is what I'm talking about when I say integrity and when I talk about being, you know, one of the few genuinely independent media outlets. You know, media analysts or political commentators or pundits or whatever it is you want to call me, all day long, I see these, man, we sure do need these independent media outlets. I see on a page for the Young Turks, Okay. Now, I like the Young Turks, but they're not an independent media outlet. Man, that's like a $100 million company. You know, and they built it up and they did a good job, but it's not something that somebody just sat in their basement like this and started it from scratch, right? They had equipment right from the get-go. The people involved had their own capital to bring in and throw a lot and lose a lot to get that thing off the ground and build it up into this overnight sensation that took 10 years to happen, which is usually the case with an overnight sensation. And certainly now you're seeing, you know, I just saw a news story today, and we touched on this earlier, right? Michael Bloomberg decided that his campaign was going to start paying people $2,500 a month to support him on their high-profile social media accounts, right? Well, guess what? Twitter just nuked like 70 accounts for doing exactly that because it's a violation of their terms of service, and it's dishonest. It's dishonest, okay? If you are paying me to tell somebody that I like you, I'm a liar. I'm on the take. And you can't trust what I say. And so for us that run the page over at I'd Love to Wake Up, and for me personally, I feel like even if we had this idea of somebody paying me for content and so on and so forth, I can't buy into that. My friend Holly, yeah, exactly, right? You end up endorsing things that you don't like, you don't understand, you don't know for sure what's going on. There have been a lot of big pages out there that have built up these, God, I can't remember which one it was that I was thinking about. It might have been Free Thought Project or Mind Unleashed or one of those big pages that loves to put out the new agey aphorisms with a picture of the woods and some little platitude on the front of it. And then about once every 35 or 40 posts, you'll see, oh, hate the police, or, you know, down with socialism, or some other nonsense that is totally not what you signed up for, not why you like the page. Natural News is another great one for that, right? Oh, we're Natural News. We're going to run article after article after article about how terrible Big Pharma is and how you can't trust medicine. Oh, and by the way, would you like to purchase some of our herbal supplements? It's a big game, man, and you know, I really don't mean to come off and tell people stupid, and Holly, I'm really glad to see you, hi, I don't mean to come off like I'm saying that you're stupid, or you don't know what you're doing, or you don't know what you're talking about, or you're ignorant, or you're blind, or you're easily misled, or any of that stuff. You have to understand that billions of dollars are being spent every single day to con you. And it works. Okay. That's just all there is to it. It works. And, you know, and it, I was talking with another friend about socialism, right? Which we talked about at the top of the hour, socialism, this, socialism, that. And it crossed my mind just how effective the propaganda campaigns of the Nazis were, right? They chose that label, National Socialist, and here we are almost 100 years later, and people still think that the Nazis were socialists. No, the Nazis were not socialists. The Nazis were exactly the opposite of socialists. The Nazis were fascists, okay? And it's kind of the line that Bernie Sanders always pulls out from Martin Luther King, right? It's socialism for the wealthy. And for everybody else, it's, you know, you're just going to have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Rugged individualism for the poor, as they say. Again, this just all goes back to labels and ideas and, you know, who you are and what you're doing. You know, Kurt Cobain said something a long time ago, and I actually posted it in memory of his birthday, so I'm going to pull it up real quick just so I can read it out loud, and you can hear it properly. Yeah, here, this was something Kurt Cobain said when he was alive. He said, you know, if any of you, speaking to a crowd, if any of you in any way hate homosexuals, people of color, or women, please do us this one favor. Don't come to our shows, and don't buy our records. And this is kind of the endless conflict for me, right? On one hand, I definitely want to be heard, and I think that the things that I'm saying are very important to be heard in terms of the bigger picture and our social situations in this country and our political situations in this country. On the other hand, if I have to rely on, you know, the money of a Michael Bloomberg or the money of a Donald Trump or, you know, somebody who has this agenda that I'm ideologically opposed to, I don't want them in my crowd. And I've said this before about my own page. You know, I've worked pretty hard to cultivate a very thoughtful audience, an audience that is very engaged in critical thinking and that is not afraid to question their own assumptions, that are not afraid of new information, that are not afraid to learn new things, that are not afraid to confront the possibility that they may have fallen for something. I work really, really hard to cultivate that kind of an audience. The downside of that is I'm not ever going to get a very big audience directly. Because people don't want to hear that, right? Mark Twain was famous for saying, you know, it's a million times easier, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's a million times easier to fool people than it is to convince them that they've been fooled, especially when they actually have. We humans and our egos really get in the way. And veering off, since it is, after all, Free for All Friday, and I can talk about whatever I want, veering off into a completely different field, I really believe that in terms of human evolution and social evolution, we are sort of balancing on the point of getting away from ego and recognizing what our selfishness says about, not what it says about us, but how it impacts us and how it blinds us and restrains us and impedes our growth. And I'm not talking about ego like, oh, I'm so pretty ego. I'm talking about the kind of ego where you don't want to admit that you're wrong. I'm talking about the kind of ego where you don't want to accept that maybe the way that your parents did things was not the right way to do things, where you don't want to confront the fact that you as a person, you know, I'm 49 years old, so I grew up in the 70s, and when I grew up as a kid and as a young teenager, you know, the racial jokes and the misogynist jokes and all these other things, that was the norm, right? That was normal life in the world for most of us. And so for a lot of people to confront the world of 2020, when you've got these people, and of course you see it all the time from the right wing, all those liberals, every time they open their mouth, it's because you're a racist. Folks, yeah, a lot of times it really is because you're a racist, and I can accept and acknowledge that it's not true for everybody, but at the same time, when I come out and make a criticism like that, it's because I had to go through the process in my own mind of understanding that I was not acting the way that I thought I was, that I was not living up to my own self-image, that there was a gap between who I was internally and how I thought of myself and what my behavior reflected out into the world. I had to accept that I was being ignorant, that I was being ugly, that I was hurting people, that I was being an asshole. And that's the hardest thing, I think, for us as people to accept sometimes. Nobody wants to be the bad guy in their own movie. And sometimes we are. And, you know, the Me Too movement is, again, one of those things. And, you know, as Holly's pointing out in the chat, you know, these things were so normal that even women were telling the jokes, right? I absolutely, and you can see it, even watching old TV shows and stuff like that, you can see where, you know, people of color and people, you know, women you know, gay performers were all engaged in, even when it was self-deprecating, they would still go for some of these jokes, and go for some of these tropes and things that were supposed to be funny because that was the culture at the time. And all of us who lived through some segment of that, and who are now, you know, out in the world and saying, this is wrong, we can't act like this. Now there's always going to be a group. There's always going to be that group that just wants the popular opinion and they're just going to, you know, appeal to social acceptability. But, yeah, that's exactly it, right? we have to get back to the point. We have to get to the point where looking ourselves dead in the eye and saying, you know what? That was me. I did that. I was part of that problem. And the reason that we have to do that, and this is one of the reasons why I've been very, very candid throughout my online life about the dysfunctions and really shitty things that I have done in my past. You know, I was strung out on cocaine for 12 years. I stopped doing hard drugs in 2000, right? It's been 20 years. But there was like a 12-year stretch there where I was, you know, single-handedly propping up the Colombian economy. I mean, I probably snorted up a couple of Porsches. And certainly all of the crappy and horrible behavior patterns that go along with that, and being aggressive and, you know, abusive relationships and manipulation and narcissism and all of that stuff. That was me. I was that guy. And I came to a point in my life, I was raising a daughter on my own, and I really started having to ask, wait a minute, what am I teaching her? And that was sort of the beginning of it for me, just along with growing up and coming to recognize and gaining some wisdom and getting out of my own ass and getting off the drugs was certainly a big help. But this is one of the reasons why I really make that effort, even when it's going to be embarrassing for me, even when I'm going to come out and publicly admit things that are not flattering, right? And this is a... this is the thing I most often come across in the context of parenting, right? And I still see it a lot. And, you know, my brother and sister-in-law have got, you know, 6 kids, 3 adopted, 3 fosters. And I see them struggle with this sometimes. This idea that you have to present yourself to your kids as, you know, omniscient, omnibenevolent, and omnipotent, right? I'm never wrong. I always am right. And I always have an answer for you. And I, you know, so on and so forth. And the truth is when you do that to your kids or to anybody else, eventually people go, wait a minute, you're wrong. And then they lose faith in everything, right? Now they don't trust you at all. The drug wars are a great example of that, man. Jesus, when I went to school, right, you could not tell the difference between how these people were talking about heroin and how they were talking about marijuana. They treated it as though it's the same drug. And the big danger in that is now here I am, a 14, 15-year-old kid, and I just got out of hearing this lecture about the horrors of drugs. Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad. And if you smoke marijuana, you're going to be a junkie and all this other stuff. I go out and, you know, smoke a joint, and 2 weeks later I'm not selling my body on the streets. I go, well, hey, wait a minute, they lied to me. They lied to me about pot. Maybe they lied to me about heroin too. Maybe I'll try that, right? So getting back to kind of the tangent that I was going off on in the first place, I really do think that as a species, we are evolving into a place where we start to recognize and understand these things more deeply and more inherently. And we start to understand that even though it is painful, and even though it is difficult to talk about some things, and it is difficult to deal with some issues, it is in our best interests to do these things honestly and transparently, and to not lie to our kids, and to not lie to, and to not lie to ourselves, right? And I'm seeing that, and I see it a lot. Often it's these strident sort of voices that are coming out, and like I said, the, you know, oh, every time a liberal opens their mouth, it's because you're a racist, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? That's because I spent a lot of years examining my own behavior and checking my own privilege and noticing myself, right? It first starts out, I start, you know, I lose the N-word from my vocabulary, and I lose the racial slurs involving Latinos in my vocabulary. And then I start to lose the homophobic slurs in vocabulary, because, of course, I've got a lot of gay friends. I have absolutely nothing against gay people. So why am I using those words? They're hurtful and stupid. Get rid of them. And then that continues to evolve, right? Because now all of a sudden I won't say, you know, I won't call somebody a homophobic slur, but I'll still call them a fat redneck. Well, wait a minute. How is that different? Oops, I got to check myself again, don't I? And now I'm making fun of somebody because they're ugly. Whoops. Isn't that kind of bullshit? I think that's bullshit. I think I'm being a jerk here. Because if it's wrong for me to issue forth a slur toward you because of the color of your skin, why is it any more right for me to issue forth a slur toward you because you've got a big nose or jowls or, and God knows, I mean, you know, if you're listening to the podcast instead of watching the video, you're probably at an advantage because I'm not the prettiest face in the world either. The common joke in the communication industry is I've got a great face for radio, right? And so it's a recursive process, and it is a difficult, difficult process of brutally honest self-examination. I personally, and I don't know how other people get to this space, for me, a lot of that had to do with, you know, I've talked before about my dad was an alcoholic. My dad is a recovered alcoholic, and what that means is that he's dead, and he does not drink anymore, and he stayed sober for the last 30 years of his life. And so when I was a teenager, he went into treatment for 30 days and started doing the meetings and everything else. And especially when you're observing the people that play the games with that sort of thing and play the games with themselves, you start to catch on really quick that as an addict, you don't have the luxury of bullshitting yourself anymore because it'll kill you, right? I can't go out. Even to this day, I cannot allow myself to think for 1 minute that, oh, it'll be okay if I do cocaine one time. Because if I do cocaine one time, I'll be dead in 6 months. Guaranteed. Right? When we start to confront our own bad behavior, self-destructive behavior, hypocrisies, the things that separate us from... separate who we are from who we think we are. I just switched my window back and caught Holly's remark about if you smoke oregano, it leads to a lifelong feeling of shame, guilt, and stupidity. this recursive self-examination. We don't have the luxury anymore, and I think as a culture, we're finally, you know, coming to that point with the Trump presidency where, you know, and we've been dealing with some of that in our history, too, over the last few years, coming to this open acknowledgement that for all of the good things of the United States that we've done and that we have accomplished, and in all of the ways that we have legitimately helped to move the idea of human liberty forward, and to engender democracy and all of that good stuff, the bottom line is we are still a nation founded on slave labor and built on stolen land, and we committed genocides to take that land, and there is still ongoing systematic abuse of, not just African Americans, but also Native Americans who are still herded onto reservations and who are still suffering from lack of robust social welfare programs and who are still caught in these traps, right? And now with the Trump presidency, right, you've got this Donald Trump in office who's just this raging, ignorant, bigoted jackass. And now we've been forced to kind of look at ourselves again, right? Because now my neighbor down the road that I just had a barbecue with feels free to drop the N-word in casual conversation, right? Now, the friend of my kid at school whose parents I get along with and have these nice, happy little conversations with during the PTA meeting is a bullying little jerk who's beating up on my foster kids because they're African-American. There's some ugliness out there, and unfortunately, we have to go through those processes. We have to go through those realities of sometimes, you know, a grandma being an obnoxious jerk isn't funny anymore. Sometimes I'm going to have to take the risk of alienating family and losing friends for the sake of speaking the truth. And that is something that I have done and have done it repeatedly. Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm not popular, right? Or not as popular as I'd like to be, at least. You know, God knows I'd like to make a living doing this, but this isn't about me making a living. This is about me trying to be the best person that I can using the tools that I was fortunate enough to be born with, right? To go out there and do my thing. I've got a big mouth. I speak well. I'm one of the very few people I know who has absolutely no fear of public speaking. I was actually talking with my friend Holly about that earlier. Just that idea of being honest with ourselves, even when it hurts, is something that I think as a species and as a culture, we're finally starting to come to grips with, and you are starting to see the so-called thought leadership class, the group of folks that always tend to be ahead of the curve, starting to engage in some of that and starting to confront themselves honestly. Oftentimes, the folks that are doing it dishonestly are also the ones that are making the biggest noise about it, unfortunately, right? Oh, look, you're right. And I mean, the tropes involved there, we all know some of my best friends are black, and that means I'm not a racist, or I only date black women, and that means I'm not a racist, or whatever, right? Some of my best friends are gay, and that means I'm not a homophobe, or my kid is gay, and that means I'm not a homophobe, or my kid is trans, or whatever. We are still, you know, it's layers and layers and layers. And so you've got sort of, this one echelon of folks who I think, and I like to consider myself one of them. Of course, that's also self-flattery and egotism, but I think I do all right at this point. You know, you've got this one group of folks who really are just, you know, ground into this and really, really doing their best and going through the self-doubt, the self-loathing and the self-recrimination of understanding our own, you know, crimes against ourselves and those around us. And then you've got the bigger group who's catching on to that, but they go, wow, that's marketable and socially acceptable, and I get rewards. And that's the corporate thing, right? Pepsi sponsors the Gay Pride Parade. Pepsi doesn't give a shit one way or the other about gay rights. Pepsi cares about selling Pepsi, and sponsoring the Gay Pride Parade opens them up to a giant, specialized, specific demographic group who will buy their products because they make this open gesture of supporting you know, their lives. And so, you know, I'm maybe not as rough on that as some other people. I'm not as cynical about that sort of corporate sponsorship thing and the corporate bandwagoning on social justice as some people can be, simply because to me, at the end of the day, it's still a question of, is the job getting done? And the answer to that is yes. You know, when you've got, you know, 75 Fortune 500 companies sponsoring a Gay Pride Parade, that's something that was unimaginable 30 years ago. And so that does help to normalize. That does help to mainstream people who have been oppressed and discriminated against in the past. And so even though I absolutely question the motive at the base root, right? And I'm completely certain that it's really a matter of how do we make money and how do we market this. It also does serve a positive purpose. And so I'm, like I said, I'm maybe not as cynical about that kind of thing as some folks are. But yeah, I guess the end of the thing, and here it is, the top of the hour. So it's time for me to wrap up. But I guess the message today is, you know, don't be afraid to admit to yourself that there is a gap between who you think you are and who you really are, between who you consider yourself to be internally and how you impact the world. And don't be afraid to close that gap, man. It's you know, just like an addict getting off of a drug or, you know, breaking any other bad habit. It's just a matter of being able internally to honestly confront your behavior and make a conscious decision to change it. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to tell those jokes anymore. I'm not going to use those words anymore. I'm not going to fall back immediately on stupid redneck when somebody from the South says something that I think is not particularly bright or that is obnoxious to me. It's not because they're a redneck. That's because they have some other issues, because they're a bigot. And this is one of the things that always, you know, tends to come up about, you know, well, yeah, but I get to use that word because that's, you know, I intend to offend or whatever. Well, you know what? There are other words, right? I don't have to call out your weight or your physical appearance or your skin color to tell you that you're an asshole. Asshole is a nice neutral word, right? I mean, an asshole can be any size, shape, color, and form, and religion, and anything else. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk. And you can find the language to say those things and to stand up against people being abusive and obnoxious without becoming the same thing yourself, you know? Let me just check here real quick. Holly, I very much appreciate the kind words there. You know, yeah, insecure people tend to be very defensive. There's a guy. I'll give you a quick illustration on this one. I was scrolling through the Facebook Marketplace. My camera's getting all pixelated. That sucks. Anyway, I was scrolling through Facebook Marketplace the other day, and I saw... Oh, it was a GoPro camera setup, right? With a bunch of accessories and so on and so forth. And it was like $65. It was cheap. It was a newer camera. And the guy who posted it was posting under the name Pablo Escobar, right? And so me, being who I am, I think I'm doing this guy a favor by saying, hey, you know, if you're going to sell equipment online that is easily fenced and is very obviously difficult to sell to a pawn shop because it has serial numbers on it, you might not want to use the name of one of the world's most notorious criminals as your screen name, but through which you are selling this material that could appear to be sketchy and wanting to meet people in person for cash exchanges, Mr. Escobar. And this guy, and I didn't see it coming. I was honestly just trying to be nice and give the dude a tip to you know, maybe help him get over. And he went off immediately. And of course, the guy was an idiot. And he starts with all this, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's going to start a fight, whatever. I don't care about that crap. But the point is as soon as he did that, then I know, well, yeah, that shit's hot, right? This guy's a thief. No, definitely was not his real name. He actually told me his real name, and I don't remember it, and even if I did, I wouldn't say it on an open line, but yeah, no, it's not, it wasn't his real name or anything else, but immediately he jumped into, what, do you call me a thief? Well, until you acted like that, no, now I am, because now you act like a thief. Right? I was just trying to say, hey, this looks a little sketchy, and if you're on the level, you might want to take a look at it. And, you know, now the way you're acting, yeah, I'm pretty sure you ripped all that shit off, and you're deadly afraid somebody's going to call you out on it because you're trying to sell it for drug money or some crap. And the same thing, yeah, you know what, I'll go a minute. This whole troll thing that I've talked about off and on for years and years and years, I got this blah, 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 right? How that started. There's a website called Addicting Info, and the guy who runs it, his name is Matt Desmond, okay? And a long time, about 10 years ago, I was noticing that, you know, this site was kind of rising in prominence and that they had writers and so forth. And I thought, well, hey, I could write for them, right? I'm a writer. I should go check them out. And I was looking at their website, and I came across this article that said, the headline on it was a Bachman Supporters Edit Wikipedia. And this was a couple of months after some Sarah Palin supporters had tried to make some edits to Wikipedia to make a historical factual error that she had made appear to be legitimate. I think she called John Quincy Adams a founding father, I think was the thing. And so somebody tried to retcon that and go, oh, well, you know, he really was, even though he really wasn't. And so a couple months later, you have Michelle Bachman. She said something, and somebody who I later came to suspect was actually Matt Desmond, but somebody came into Wikipedia and edited her page to make it look as though what she said was legitimate, and then you see this article, Bachman supporters. Now, here I am, right, idiot, naive, wide-eyed, trusting soul that I am, I see this article and I go look at it and I go, well, wait a minute. There's a discussion right on the page. Wikipedia's got their little discussion tab. And if you look on that, the person who made that edit said straight out, it was a joke. It was funny Wikipedia vandalism. I was just making a joke. But this news outlet had run it as though it was like a legitimate story, like somebody in, you know, Michelle Bachmann's campaign office or family or something had come along to try to distort reality and blah, blah, blah. And it was really just some college kid playing a prank, right? I point this out, and this Desmond guy just absolutely went ballistic immediately. He was all over me, threatening to, and I just made a comment like, hey, you should check out the discussion on this, because this isn't really what this story says it was, and maybe you should check that out and fix the story, right? Like a legitimate news organization would do, somebody with ethics. Silly me. And he was, bam, right on me, threatened to sue me, called me all kinds of names, started contacting my friends, joined my page at that time on Facebook. If you had a page and somebody joined it, they could see all of the people who had liked that page. You could just get a list with links to their accounts. And this guy actually joined my page and started individually contacting the 150 or so people at that time that liked the page, and telling them that I was a crook, and that I was a liar, and that I was this, and that I was that. And he gets all his friends together. And that is the beginnings of that whole segment of my troll problem, right? That's where all that came from, is this one guy who I thought I was trying to do a little favor for, but who was actually engaged in some really underhanded shit. And he was terrified that if I opened my mouth too far, it was going to become obvious, and he was going to lose credibility. And when you're in that line of business of clickbaiting and pandering to biases, your credibility is your income, right? And so he completely lost his shit. And he's still out there. That's the sad thing, right? He still has a page on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. I think he sold out of Being Liberal. I think he might have got some money for that. And I think he may have sold out of Addicting Info. But he still maintains his little Matthew Desmond page. And he's still got out there acting like he's Mr., you know, liberal activist. And he got invited to some, gets invited to the... the Democratic Party, whatever, progressive online, blah, blah, all this stuff, right? Stuff I'll never get to because I don't kiss enough ass, right? And just legitimizing. Now all of a sudden this dude's got millions and millions of followers. I can't get anything done, blah, blah, blah. You've already heard that story. I don't want to talk about it anymore. The point is to illustrate exactly what my friend Holly said in the comments. Insecure people tend to be very defensive. Defensive people tend to be very guilty. Okay? When you see somebody do that, when you see somebody just completely overreact to what seems like a reasonable and well-intended criticism, you can bet your ass they are terrified that they're going to get caught at something and you're about to catch them. They are walking around behind a mask and they are absolutely horrified that somebody's going to see through it. So, just a little people tip from your old buddy John Henry here on my live stream today. We are going to wrap this up. I've been on for an hour 10 now, and that's too long for me. And my video quality is completely dying. I noticed that happening earlier, too. I wonder if I've got a problem with my camera or if it's just not good at running for this long. But anyway, yeah, we'll deal with that as time goes by, right? Thank you very much. Holly, thank you so much for sitting here and chatting with me this whole time. Thank you also to everybody who has dropped in, who's liked. Don't forget, you've got all the information down here. I'm on Twitter, JohnHenry_US. I'm on the web at JohnHenry.US is my website. My fundraising accounts at PayPal.me/JohnHenryUS. And I do have a Patreon at Patreon.com/JohnHenry. It is not live yet. I am going to work on that tonight and tomorrow, as a matter of fact. You can find me on Facebook. It's /JohnHenryUS, and I am a co-administrator of I Loved to Wake Up in the Morning When Barack Obama Was President. That's the big page that I help, that I co-admin. So thank you again for those of you who are here live and for those of you who will be listening later on the podcast or watching the replay here on YouTube. Have yourselves a merry little February, and we will see you you this Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/JohnHenryUS/live. Thanks again, and have a great afternoon.